This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and the holidays are coming up. You know what that means. It's time to figure out when to mail drugs to yourself in your hometown.
I'm Brandy Posey, and here's an impression of the Ghost of Christmas Future. If he was a 1970s, like, surfer dude. Okay. Dig your own grave.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, brah.
Yeah, brah.
I'm Tess Barker, and as long as I live, I will never forget the night my food and weed drivers arrived at the same time and high-fived one another.
And this is lady to lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Yeah,
everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's watched that music video lately, but I have, and it is so bad that it's extremely funny.
They're all like universal monsters and stuff in it, right?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, they're it's like a thing where they show up at a haunted house and then they all wake up in the middle of the night and they're like, I'm a werewolf now. And it's just, and it's like, I think was supposed to be spooky, but you watch it and it's like the cheesiest shit you've ever seen.
And I do remember, is it Howie? Is that his name? Howie?
Yeah.
Okay. That's one of them.
Yeah. I do remember being like, oh yeah, Howie, that is how Howie would look if he was a werewolf.
Well, and they really don't give Kevin enough play, which they never do, but Kevin,
no, but he's pretty hot.
Yeah, and he's so hot. Mm-hmm. But he plays his role is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in this one.
Yes.
And so it's just him turning from one side to the other going like, everybody, and just being like, ooh, yeah, this side faces. Now.
Whoa. I always thought that him and Posh Spice had a similar mysteriousness about them.
They both sang like one lyric a song, basically. Yeah,
exactly.
No, all of those groups had like the same, had their doppelganger.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Oh boy, we got any stuff to say before we get to the show?
This weekend I'm in Austin at Altercation Comedy Festival, actually tomorrow, Thursday the 2nd, and then next weekend I will be in St. Louis on the 10th of November at the Flyover Comedy Festival. We're doing Picture This, come to those.
Hey, it's daylight saving time this Sunday too, just to tell you.
No.
In case we're
turn back the clock.
I hate this one.
The
clock. Yeah. If I could,
it's like turn back time. If I could seasonally depress.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So do that.
Yeah. Do that, please. That would be great. And you know what? It also was great. This episode, holy shit.
This episode was lovely. We had a great time with our guest. She's got a few podcasts. You might know her from her travel podcast, Strangers Abroad. And she's got a new narrative nonfiction podcast called A Race Around the World, based on the true adventures of Nellie Bly and Elizabeth Bisland. And there's a few episodes out now. It's really good. It's a really fascinating story. And she'll tell us a lot more about it on the episode coming up. So please enjoy our episode with Adrian Bain. Well, we've been having so much fun. We're just going to keep. Seriously. We were like already having so much fun. They were like, wait, we have to sync up our tracks. So
yeah, sometimes we accidentally start leaving it in the locker room. And like, we're like, I got to go out to the field. And now we're here.
Hopefully by the end of this, our cycles will be syncing. So that's like exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
We don't tell people that in the contract, but yes, you will be synced with us.
That's like truest form of like female or like uterus owning intimacy is like, are our cycles tracked? Like when my, if me or my sisters or like my closest female friends, like get our periods on the same day, I'm like, this is true love. Like I'll never experience this.
For sure. For sure.
Did you apparently, and I don't know if this is just like, you know, stupid science or not, you know, because it's probably a thing I saw on TikTok.
Sure.
But apparently, like, we all sync at the same time so that we are competing for men at the same time.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, I don't like that.
It does sound like TikTok.
It's not a system. Yeah.
It sounds like TikTok stupid science.
Yeah,
sure.
Was that a dude saying that? I don't like that.
Honestly,
at all.
It was probably something I heard on another podcast and just decided to pass off. I have no idea where I got it from.
What? My theory is, and I think that our podcast is doing a good job of this, if we can all sync together, especially with every guest over the course of time, then we can make a national holiday happen every month.
That'd be good.
Important.
That, I think, is the ultimate plan.
Okay, which day are we going, though? Second day of the period national holiday?
Oh, that's so interesting. For real life?
That's the day you need off.
Yeah. For real life, I like really want, as like part of our healthcare system, I want 4 days off a month paid. And mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be on the days of my period because sometimes I'm like, sometimes before, you just get that before. Like PMS frazzle where I'm like, I literally can't think clearly. Only a whole season of Gilmore Girls is going to help me like focus. But like, I really feel like I want the red tent movement to come back. And I want that to be part of our healthcare system where women can just like go mm-hmm. 4 days a week, 4 days a month, 4 days a week, 4 days a month.
Yes.
Paid just to like center themselves or just like mm-hmm. bleed in like a beautiful marble space.
I mean,
you know?
Glamping is such a big deal now that I would really like a glamping
like in the woods.
Period hut. Like that is the experience I'm looking for in a yurt.
So
a period yurt.
Brandy, I am right behind you on that one. I want a Perfect. Period yurt more than anything. So that'll be the startup that we do once
Perfect.
This episode is over. Yeah.
For all the venture capitalists listening.
Which I'm sure there are many.
Hey, sharks. Yeah. Period yurt.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, let's take it a shark tank.
Doesn't yurt also sound like a derogatory term for hippies?
Yeah. Does yurt?
Yeah, it's so close to yogurt.
It sounds like an insult.
Yeah. It's definitely, absolutely. If you're like,
these fucking yurts.
Yeah. Bleeding in your yurts. Totally.
Yeah. Get out of the way.
Yeah, I feel like there's definitely been a Bud Light like thrown at someone trying to hitchhike and they're being like,
yeah. Which I guess Bud Light is on our side now, which is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
We got Bud Light.
Bud Light.
That's true. Yeah. That's so funny.
Fuck. PBR. No. Natty Ice.
Natty Ice. They can definitely have Natty Ice.
Take it.
Did you guys know that the ice beers have more alcohol in them?
Really?
Ew.
Yeah. Ice That's what beers. Makes it like Natty Ice. I didn't know. I don't. Like, if it has ice in it, I'm not
more
drinking
water
it.
Or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what the ice is.
I had a Beatbox the other day. Has anyone had these or heard of these?
No. I've heard of them.
So they're speaking of Shark Tank, whatever. Mark Cuban bought them on Shark. It doesn't matter. But they're like
it does matter. You had one.
They're a booze brand, and like I thought it was just boxed wine. I didn't know what the fuck it was, but okay. I needed. I was like, I just need like one thing to have a little bit of. And it's like basically just like Boone's Farm, like elevated, like sugar water. It was a package.
I see. Yeah, it looks it like coconut water, but it's
yeah,
like
it's
a
like a coconut
boozy.
Water package. Four drink. There's four drinks inside of it. So
Whoa,
I was like,
what?
I was like, this, yes, and I was.
Is this a liquid?
I was like, oh yeah, it's a really sugary, like. I say like at the new wine cooler, like it's just like sugar and alcohol in a coconut.
Is it like a new Ford
box.
Loco where it's like
that's what it sounds like.
Would
you say Ford Loco?
Ford Loco.
Yeah.
Ford also Loco. Very reasonably priced. One of these is only $3.99.
I know. So I was like, this is insane. I can't believe this exists.
Oh my god.
And I don't know.
It's amazing
whatever.
How many
it's
things like American capitalism just like lets out into the world before it's like actually tested. Like
Oops.
It's a real it's a real broken process that we have. It's like, let's see how many people's livers are harmed before we like roll this one back.
But then at the same time, we also like can't have the same sunscreen as South Korea, which like,
right.
You know?
Wait, what is this? I've no
idea. Oh yeah, we have like way, actually Kamala Harris is on this, that's like one of her like missions is to bring better sunscreen to America because we have like really subpar sunscreen.
Wait,
here.
I didn't know that.
Like our sunscreen is stuff in horrible. It, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I use black market South Korean sunscreen.
I need the link to this.
Yeah, what's the like, connect, Brandy?
Can we go to K-Town? Like, can I go to K-Town and get sunscreen?
Yeah, is it actually legal?
Or like is it really?
It's like technically not supposed to be in the United States.
Oh yeah, you can't buy it in
it
like
has
a store.
To be in K-Town, I'm sure.
I mean, a person that lives in my trailer park's daughter lives in South Korea, so.
Okay.
It's, all right, Brandy, we're starting.
Oh my God, that is like the second. That is like the second best reason to go to South Korea. The first one, I just heard on podcast, I can't remember where, but apparently, maybe it was on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Apparently, so South Korea is also known for its plastic surgery. Yeah. And so people will do plastic surgery tourism. And after you get your surgery done on your face, you get a little slip of paper that you have to hand to the airport marshals to be like, I know my face this doesn't mask my passport anymore, but I am this person on this document. And that just brings me a level of like awe and joy that I just, humans are so funny, man. Like,
that's hilarious.
So,
you have to frame that if you get that, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
A scrapbook
at the
very least. Holy shit.
Absolutely.
It's like, do they give them a before and after photo? And they're like, I swear. See?
I swear. Right. I don't know, but I would pay so much money just to like look at what that, I don't know if I'm somebody where like I would eventually get plastic surgery, but like I would pay a lot of money just to look at what that certificate actually is. And that's my new favorite fun fact of like humans be so weird. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Humans be so weird.
That's so funny.
I just think it's amazing.
Because it has to be like a government surgery document, too, which means that there's like a Department of Faces or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But talk about Department of Faces. I'll take that slip over when you come into America after an international flight. You've already just been on like a 14-hour flight. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You just sit through like a 5-hour line. And then they take that nice worm's eye photo of you.
That's
and
a UCIA file.
Like, super dried out because you've just like been breathing the same air for 14 hours.
Okay.
Those are always like embarrassing photo.
Like it lowers your self-esteem. 100%. You're like, I don't need this right now.
Yeah. You're not going to tell me that's in your file that the government has about you, man.
Exactly.
And if you really get out of line, they're just going to post it everywhere.
Because, you know, they're making you stand in line forever to be like, why, where were you? What are you doing? Did you bring anything?
Right.
It's not, it's just to get the shitty photo. That's all it's for.
To blackmail you later for reasons we don't understand. They're you sure you want to leave America looking like that? So
insane. Well, speaking of travel.
Speaking of
how is
my God.
Bing bang boom. What are we all, professionals or something?
Yeah.
That we are.
Yeah. Adrian, you have an amazing new podcast that's out now called A Race Around the World, based on the true adventures of Nellie Bly and Elizabeth Bisland. Is it Bisland?
Bisland is how I've been pronouncing it for the past 2 years.
I love it. Can you tell us about it a little bit? It sounds, when your PR person sent this over, we were like, ooh, yes, we want to hear everything.
It is so lady to lady. I like, it makes my brain explode a little bit. So in 1889, two female writers were commissioned to race each other around the world in under 80 days. And it was originally Nellie Bly's Lady Number One, we'll call her. So Nellie Bly was an investigative journalist, and she really elbowed her way into becoming like a female investigative reporter because literally she like went to every, she's from Appalachia. She went to, she wanted to become a New York journalist. So she moves to Manhattan and she goes and interviews with every single editor that she can find. And the excuses they give are like, well, women can't climb upstairs fast enough if there's a fire. Oh, like, we can't give them these. Or, like, women's writing is, like, too
and
delicate.
And she had already worked before this. Like, it wasn't like she was coming with no experience.
Exactly. Yeah. She had done investigative reporting in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. which was, like, the main city she lived in her 20s. She, like, went down to Mexico City, and she lived there for 5 months with her mom. Like, she got her newspaper editor to be like, and I shall bring my mother with me. Thank you very much. And so she had, like, obviously done what was back then, like, the impossible. Mm-hmm. And so, God, there was just, like, no moment of, like, how do I want to say this? Like, there's no moment throughout her story that isn't just, like, has a layer of, like, deep misogyny on top of it.
She had to push constantly.
So she just, like, really did not take no for an answer. So she ends up working for Joseph Pulitzer's New York World. And she becomes, like, kind of a local celebrity because newspapers were very much, like, this is something we cannot relate to at all, which is, like, newspapers just wanted to sell as many papers as possible and, like, keep people addicted to the news. That's, like, not relatable.
No, that got handled, yeah.
That thank business God model is really, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but telling things from a female perspective was pretty novel. So she becomes a undercover investigative journalist in New York. And after a year of working for Joseph Pulitzer, she's, like, so burned out. She kind of, like, comes up with this idea of, like, maybe if they can send me around the world, I'll, like, kind of get a vacation, but I, like, can also work during it. So she purchased
such a that's so something I would do.
I was the like, this is a very test move.
Yeah. Such a work brain never turns off for her. Like, the work brain never
right, she's
turns
like,
off.
I'm just going to take a little break by, like, going around the world.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So she pitches the idea. Her editors are like, ugh, I just feel like it's better to send a dude. And also, like, women carry too much stuff. So, like, I don't know about that. You won't be able to make quick transfers. And she's like, that's unreal. So she, a year goes by and Joseph Pulitzer gets a little nervous because he's like, shit, I need to sell more papers. I want a long-standing piece. Mm-hmm. And other papers were like, we might send a man around the world. And Joseph was like, well, what would sell more papers than a man going around the world? Mm-hmm. So Nellie Bly is given 56 hours to pack up all of her shit and get enough, like, get everything that she needs to go around the world in under 80 days. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely inspired from the Jules Verne book, Around the World in 80 Days. And one of the women in the series actually meets him. I won't say who, just to, like, get those listeners. Because he is still alive at the time in France. Oh, cool. And so Nellie Bly, on November 14th, 1889, Nellie Bly casts off towards London on a steamship, and she thinks she is racing against time. And as she is exiting the New York City harbor, the new editor of Cosmopolitan magazine, the Cosmo we know today of, like...
Wow, that was around then?
That was around back then. It used to be this, like, Christian
what?
Magazine.
What? Cosmo,
like,
used
family
to be Christian?
Magazine.
How far
then,
it has come.
Exactly. Has come.
Yay.
Hello. I never
how far can you come?
Exactly.
How to drive him wild by coming.
10 tips to come around the world.
I've pitched to Cosmo to, like, talk to them about this, and I feel like we can make some kind of a deal with that. But anyways.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's the original fun, fearless female.
Yes.
100%. So the editor, so this guy, John Brisbane Walker, had just bought Cosmo magazine and he wants to rebrand it. I get a sense that he wants it to be like what the New Yorker is today, like some personal essays, some reporting, but it's a monthly magazine. And he's like, fuck, I need to sell more papers too. So he opens the paper. As Nellie Bly is leaving, he opens the New York World and reads that a woman is racing around the world. And he's like, huh, I have my own woman. It's like a Trump binders filled with women kind of a moment. Like, let me
I
just
also
find
have
one, you know?
Yeah.
So he plucks his literary editor Elizabeth Bisland out of bed. And she is a poet at heart. Like, she is this, like, New York City socialite. She's French. She's from the South. She, like, has made friends with every single, like, high society artist in New York. She's, like, such an it girl. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't, she's like planning a tea party for the next day. And so she gets this urgent call by like 10:30 that morning saying to like, come into the office. And she's like, okay, what is this about? So she goes in and her editor is like, how much time is it going to take for you to get around the world? Is like 6 p.m. tonight cool for you? And she's like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. And like, he literally bribes, he like threatens to fire her if she doesn't go. And she's like, the line that I wrote is like, suddenly the other side of the world didn't sound so bad as long as she was away from this guy. So she has 6 hours. Like, I don't even think I could pack in 6 hours for an around the world, let alone at a time where it's like, all of these different climates, what am I going to wear? Like, can I bring any books? She doesn't have a Kindle, you know, like she's got to bring heavy ass books. So
how are you even like planning this like route? Like, it's not like there's MapQuest.
Exactly. They literally have to go to like, there are travel agencies at the time. So like, they do have to like figure out what is the fastest route. And fortunately for me as a writer, like one of the beautiful poetries of this story is that the fastest way around the world is the same direction, is the same locations, no matter even if you go east or west. So Elizabeth Bisland heads west. She gets on a train headed to San Francisco. And that's just like a beautiful, like, you can't write that, you know?
That's cool.
Nellie goes east, Elizabeth goes west, and adventure ensues. And I have a travel podcast. I have done a lot of solo female travel. And what really spoke to me about their stories is that I have experienced so much of the same emotional journeys that they write about, like the homesickness and the loneliness and the like, this guy is so fucking creepy. Like, how do I get him away from me? And it's wild that like that emotional journey has not changed that much in 134 years. And I also really try to go into like, what is the state of women at the time? Because like country to country, women's roles are like slightly different, or they have like historical variations, which I thought was really interesting. Cause my like eternal question is like, how did women become second-class citizens, like, globally. And it turns out that, like, based on location, it's not always that way. Like, in some places, there was a period of time where, like, women are equals and they can take lovers and they are in control of marriage and property and can run their own businesses. And then, like, a patriarchal group will come in and be like, never mind, JK, that was really cute of you guys. So I mean, that's, makes like... sense.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, even here in America, it's like, the if you look at the history of like women getting the right to vote, the Western states are the ones that, like, Wyoming is the first state that women got the right to vote because existence there was so hard that you had to see your wife as an equal because you needed each other to survive.
Right. Like, well, and men died so often. Like, so many of women's rights just became a function of, like, your husband died. Who's going to run the farm? I guess this bitch.
Absolutely.
The egalitarianness comes from survival. Like, once you get a little bit cushy, then people are like, but what about me?
Do we need this? Right. Well, the one thing that I do, so in episode 3, it's Liz going across the America, and she does have these like pockets of interactions with Native Americans, and Native American women are actually the inspiration for like white women's suffrage. Like a lot of women, Elizabeth B. Canton. Oh, her name's escaping me right now.
Wait, Katie Stanton and Elizabeth, the Seneca Falls ladies.
The Seneca Falls ladies were chatting up with the Native American women in their own backyards, and we're like, wait. You can own your own property. Like, you can divorce. You have democratic votes. So, you know, these white women fight for white women's rights. And, like, that's very, you know, not great. But that is actually really wild to me that, like, yes, Native Americans at the time are very much considered second class. Like, we did so many atrocious things. But mm-hmm. the women in those tribes, like, had an equal say in shit. And, like, they had more mm-hmm. rights and liberties in their own communities than, like, white women did. And mm-hmm. so it just, like, that was really interesting to me because, like, both Nelly and Liz are traveling at a time when they don't have female rights. Right. And they're still yeah. doing, like, something that people really didn't think women could do this. And it's mm-hmm. crazy that they're both like, this is scary, but, like, fuck it. I'm going to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And I yeah. love that, like, for each of them, it was this, like, groundbreaking, like, act of, like, incredible bravery and entrepreneurship. But, like, really, there are parallels to me to now, too, where it's like, okay, women can come in, but it's going to be a stunt. You are mm-hmm. going to be fetishized, and it's going to be you in competition with another woman.
Totally.
yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Because they didn't – what I, like, love about it is that, first, Nelly doesn't even know that Liz is competing against her until she's in Hong Kong – which is wild to me. Whereas Elizabeth the whole time, she, like, both of them do end up going on two very different emotional arcs. And Liz is kind of like, yo, this is awesome. I don't really care if I win. Like, I actually did get, like, the jackpot, you know? So, like, she does not show all these moments of, like, competition mm-hmm. the way that Nelly does. Because the moment Nelly finds out, like, she's such a, like, workaholic. She's like,
yeah.
She gets really catty, and I'm like, no, Nelly, come on, you know?
That's what they want, Nelly.
But that's what they want, yeah. you know, but that's what they want. And the newspapers do kind of, like, peg against them against each other.
Of course.
That's the whole thing. Yeah.
And apparently Elizabeth.
They're like, pick one, Brittany or Christina.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah. Speaking of, this feels kind of relevant. This morning, I was looking. Amber sent me a TikTok, and I gasped. And I go, oh, my God. And Sean was like, what? And I'm like, Beyonce went to the Taylor Swift movie with Taylor.
I knew that's what this was
going to be. Dude, but, like, when women support women, I can't yes. hold back the tears.
Well, and, like, everyone's trying to pit them against each other all the time. And they're like, No.
We're so different. And, like, yeah. there's so much. We're told that there's not enough room at the table, but there totally fucking is. And, like.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is, like, I get a little sad with Nelly in that moment. But also she's so, like. She's so focused on getting around the world in 80 days mm-hmm. that she literally says, like, I don't care if I, what is it? She's like, I would rather have my body, I would rather, fuck, what is it? I would rather die and get there in 80 days than arrive in New York alive in 81 days. Like, the seriousness that she takes this is pretty insane. But I'm also like, she has to take it seriously because I bet she knows that, like, at any point someone can take her job away, you know, and be
exactly.
like, you're a lady, like, we don't take you as seriously. So I bet she has to take herself, like, double seriously.
Yeah, which it's, is it's so very protective. Much like a double dog dare you, like, all mm-hmm. right, you say you can do this, well, here you go. It's just like, yep. God, I have to fucking pull it off.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you end up doing things that you're like, I didn't think I was going to do this, but I've got too much pride at this point. Like, I've committed too far.
Well, so. And like, yeah, you would have to be such an intense personality to have, like, done the work that she'd done even up to that point. Cause she's also,
yeah.
I mean, I didn't know her for this as much as, like, cause she did a lot of, like, undercover asylum work too, right?
Yes.
That's kind of what she's most famous for.
That
like, I can't imagine that's like the intense personality you'd have to be to be like, put me in, coach.
Exactly.
Talking over in the 1800s. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, 100%. Yeah. Nelly's really intense, but I am also really intense. So I'm like, I vibe with it. I got you.
Yeah.
We have to take a quick break, but we will be back in a second to talk.
Yeah.
Yay.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm Adrienne.
And thank you. This is just, I love it. I love the whole story. I feel like you really, you know, I was listening to the first episode and you really, like, put us there and it very is much like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you really get the vibe of, like, oh, God, like, what if the reality of what it was like to, like, be women at that time.
Yeah. Did they
and
ever?
Like you said, you kind of had to live in it. Like you had, you're like, these are people. These are my friends.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, I just feel like so much of their, like I was saying before, like it's wild to me how much I have experienced with all of the amenities that I have, but like what they felt is so unbelievably similar. But Brandy, they did cross each other in South China Sea. But this is the thing that like kind of breaks my heart is that I cannot find any documents saying that they ever met each other afterwards because they both lived pretty close to each other in Manhattan.
I love that. I love that they're that close to each other. And man, it's like, Naomi Klein has a new book out called Doppelganger that's about like...
Ooh, that story is crazy.
Oh my gosh. It's such... I have it on hold at Libby and I literally can't wait till it's available to read because every interview I've heard with her is insane about like the person that is like... kind of like on a weird but different timeline than you in the world. Yeah. Like they're
so the premise of that book is she was mistaken for someone else.
For Naomi Wolf.
For Naomi Wolf. Yes. And so she was like so much. You know, fucking attacked and canceled and just saw the how Twitter does. But they did it to the wrong person.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
I'm getting that out of the Brooklyn Public Library as we speak.
Oh yeah. It's amazing. But yeah, to have this like other person that's running in the same way as you is like, well, it's like astronauts always say that there's like this thing called solipsism syndrome that astronauts get where it's like because you've seen the world from a different perspective, you feel isolated from so many other people because you just like, you just are like, I feel like I understand something that I don't know how to explain it to people.
Language like
very
kind
similar.
Of language. Wow. Like I love that because there's so many like strange emotional feelings I get when I travel that I haven't found like a real word for. Like sometimes I'll find it in other languages. But like for me, there's like this one moment where Liz gets this like, I don't know how to describe this. And I'm curious if you ladies have also felt this with your travels. But there's sometimes where like I will arrive in a place and my brain is like, you've never been anywhere else. You've been here the whole time and you know everybody here. And I don't know what that is, but it's very like your actual lived experience and memories feels like a strange dream. And you're like, who are my parents? You know, like, are they real still? And it's really, so I love that there definitely are these emotional experiences that come from travel that like the human language or English at least does not capture them.
Yeah. No, and I think that's like that trope of people being so obnoxious when they get back from Europe. It's like, yes, that is annoying, but they're talking like that because it is like very mind-blowing to have those kind of like sensory experiences. Like there's really no way except to go through it to like have your brain broken in that way.
100%. 100%. And I will tell you, the moment I said croissant to my sisters, they were like, shut it down. Shut it down. Absolutely not. I like remember asking for olive oil once at like an Italian restaurant. And my sisters were like, we're in America, Adrienne. Like, get butter, you know?
No, once I went olive oil, I never went back. It's much better on bread with a little balsamic.
I agree completely. But I definitely like the thing that I've definitely... What I aspire in my own writing is that, like, the other side of the world isn't actually that different. You know, it's like people walking down a street, going to their job, going to their loved ones, getting food, like, all of the same things, but, like, there are differences. Like, and those are beautiful, and they're subtle, and they're nuanced, and, like, that's what makes the world so incredible. But, like, I really want people to understand that, like, me and a Vietnamese grandpa and a like teenage girl in Nigeria, like we all have the same motive, desires, like comforts. I don't want to like, I know that sounds like very oversimplified and I don't want to sound like that, but like for the most part, humans are pretty simple once you know like our core motivations and that is consistent across the planet, you know?
Well, and I think that like, I think humans have at least in America, I can't speak to most other places, but I feel like Americans have a really hard time we're really good at, concrete empathy with the thing I see in front of me, I empathize with it. But I think we have a really hard time with abstract empathy for something that we haven't seen or experienced. And I think that like travel is just like it's made me a much more empathetic person, just like being in different places and being like, oh, I understand something that I wouldn't have unless I was like here and feeling it and seeing it. And you see that. You see how similar we are to each other by like experiencing.
100%. You
know, yeah.
Yeah. But I love also that. Do like mm-hmm. the hippy dippy in me. Like, I do believe that like there is energy in places.
Yes,
and like, I think 100%. That's what you're feeling too. And you're like, there are just like stories kind of like on the yeah. soil in different places in the world.
Agreed.
And I think that is like the part that's sort of like revelatory is just like feeling that different kind of like history. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much shit has gone. Like, I don't know, like Italy, that's like why I feel like such strong energy in Italy. Cause you're just like it, I don't really know, even know how to completely verbalize it, but like, it's like, you just feel something there that mm-hmm. is really unique to anything that you've felt in your
life. 100%. It's always going to feel, and also like, I feel like it's going to, every place feels different. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you're going to experience it every time you go there because, like, you are also a different person. Mm-hmm. So, like, I never say, like, oh, I would never go back to a place because, like, maybe I was an asshole when I was, like, in France the yeah. first time and maybe I'm less of an asshole now. Mm-hmm. And, like, maybe something different will happen that will make me be like, oh, my God, this is amazing. So, like, I think that, like, there is definitely an energy in each spot that feels very different, again, based on, like, all of the energy that humans have put into that environment. Mm-hmm. And then you are energetically a different person every time you go out there.
I mean, it's just fascinating. And, I mean, on this tip, speaking of, like, journeying to new places, we would actually like to go back in time with you right now.
Oh, my God, yeah. I would love to. That's like
to my the vibe. Mid-aughts. Right.
Yes. Mid-aughts.
I'm sure if you had a time machine, you would like to go back to the age of fedoras mm-hmm. and whale tails.
Yes.
And, yeah. Uh-huh. So we're going to play a MySpace quiz with you.
Oh, my God. This is wild. Like MySpace, I just honestly, like, I kind of forgot that MySpace existed,
right? Yeah. For probably good reason. Yeah,
I feel like I wasn't like super, I feel like I was like 16 I think when I got a Facebook account, so I feel like my MySpace journey was pretty short-lived. Mm-hmm. But I do remember it pretty, I do remember it.
I
it was like dirty was Facebook.
Yeah, it was my favorite.
It was dirty it. Facebook.
Because Facebook was just college students at first. So it was like all my other weirdo friends. And like, I was randomly friends with weird actors and shit on there.
Right, great. Same. Yeah, I would
you could be friends with anybody.
Look at those messages because I think like that's when I was the most insane also. So it'd be great to... It'd be great to read what I was putting out on the internet at that point. Because, I mean, it's just as far as, like, yeah, I would befriend, like, random comedians and stuff I was obsessed with. And, like, mm-hmm. who knows what weird messages I was sending to people.
Go find it. Because I bet we can make so many jokes.
They, like, don't exist anymore. They don't, like, they took, it's like, all.
Because I've logged into mine. Yeah. I pulled all my photos down. But now that whatever servers all that stuff's on isn't even there. It's just the, like, image not found stuff.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, really?
Which is so sad because there's so much. I mean, I loved that website. I thought it was so silly and weird. My first comedy writing was like in the bulletins on MySpace for sure.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't want to compare that to like the great Library of Alexandria being burned down, but like that does feel like a cultural loss.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
I feel like we kind of, because it was so early, you know, it's like humans being like monkeys typing on the keyboard being like, what mm-hmm. is this?
I mean,
you know?
Speaking of, let me just say PSA, because Yahoo was my first email account and like, mm-hmm. again,
obviously,
where I'm like, who knows what relics lie in there?
Yeah.
They get rid of it if you don't log in after a certain amount of time. All my old emails are gone from college,
no.
my old papers. So like,
no.
if you have an old email, log into it or else they do
oh my
get
God.
Rid of it after a certain
All right,
amount of
time. All right, I'll be logging into iceblueeyes109@yahoo.com immediately after this. That's still, you can still email me there. Yes. I don't think I've checked it since. Like 2008, maybe, but
yeah.
Yeah. My like really embarrassing emails to my college boyfriend who broke up with me, just all that shit was in there. And I'm like,
emails. That's bad. That's bad. Yeah.
I did.
That was not over email, but my pleading was over email.
Oh.
Yeah.
We don't need a written record of that.
Yeah.
I have a downloaded copy of my entire live journal. There's no amount of money that you could pay me to access it, but it is on my Dropbox. Good fucking luck, everybody. That's going to the grave with me.
My God. Yeah, it's like you and an external hard drive in your casket.
I mean, genuinely, I want to be buried with my electronics. I'm just like, put it over my heart, my laptop and my phone and all my hard drives.
Speaking of electronics, you guys, can I tell you that the nightmare situation that I'm in right now?
Uh-oh. What?
Well, I'm being really dramatic. I'm reading a book that I really love. It's like a page turner. Mm-hmm. I had 40 pages left in it on my Kindle. And like, I very rarely leave my house with my Kindle because it's kind of like my bedtime thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm like so into this book that like at some point in the day on Monday, I was like, put that in your purse. And then like while you're eating lunch or whatever, you can finish that book. And I can't find my Kindle anywhere. And I think I might have left it at Starbucks. And I have 40 pages left in this book. And I love my Kindle and it's missing.
Oh, man.
Wait, can you go back to the Starbucks and be like, did you find this Kindle?
I called and they didn't. And I'm like, but I also like that Starbucks, like it's a high traffic Starbucks. Like, I feel like if I did leave it there, like somebody probably like, even if they didn't know, like they were probably like, oh, an electronic and they just took it.
Yeah.
So like my question is,
what is the book? How long do I wait?
Whale Fall. Have you heard of it?
Uh-uh.
It's a page turner. It's a new book. It's by an author named Daniel Krauss. And it's like a thriller about this kid who's a scuba diver and he gets swallowed by a whale. Mm. So the entire book is him trying to crawl his way out of this. It's like a page turner thriller. Great book. And I got to find out if this guy gets out of the whale.
Oh my God. I have a friend who I like do a lot of book exchange with. And I was reading Station 11, which was good. I wasn't like, oh my God, this is the best book. But I had 10 pages left before, it was a library book. So I had 10 pages left before I had to return it because I was going away for a month. Mm-hmm. And I texted my friend Jan and I was like, I have 10 pages left of Station 11. She's like, I'll take photos of every single page for you so you can read it. And I was like, you're too good for this earth right now. Like, so someone send Tess those last 40 pages.
If any of you guys have a copy of Whale Fall, I would really appreciate it.
It just feels like a very like Seinfeld episode where like someone else reads the end of it and then you have to go find them. And
oh my God.
I've read the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked when he got out of the whale. And come on.
Okay. Let's ask some. Yes.
Okay. Let's be serious.
Let's be serious.
About okay. These.
Well, hold on. Stupid. We do have a theme song first.
Oh yes. Yeah. I forgot. Yes. Oh my God. Of course.
There it is.
There it is.
Oh my God. Beautiful.
Okay, I feel like this will be a good one for you. How many oceans have you swam in?
Ooh.
Okay. Pacific, Atlantic. Gulf of Thailand. Wow, that's a great question. The one
that's
I really want
to
hit up.
To throw at you.
The mm-hmm. one I really want to hit up is the Indian Ocean because it's like the most crossed with all the trade winds. But I don't want to take a cruise because they're like really gross.
Yeah.
I guess like Mediterranean. What else? I have not. Yeah. Ionian. That's a sea. Ionian Sea. So like some.
What's the difference between an ocean and a sea?
A sea, I think,
smaller, but
is smaller. It's part of an ocean, and it might touch land.
Yes, yeah, that's
because
exactly
the Pacific Ocean touches land.
But there's little seas. I think it's like little seas, like beside. I don't know how to describe it. Like the Caspian Sea is landlocked, but it's big enough to be a sea.
I see. It's like an ocean lake.
It's like an ocean lake, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
It's the brunch of
okay.
Of water masses.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Cuz there's like gulfs in oceans. You know, like the Gulf of Mexico is in the Atlantic Ocean. So maybe it's not a but I don't know what a gulf is. It's like by the
Sea versus golf.
I'm just spitballing, but I feel like a golf is like a golf is like a room with three walls.
Like the water peninsula.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Oh, yes.
A sea is an area of open water that is partially bounded by a land barrier, where a gulf is an area of water indented into a landmass. Okay, so it's got like if it's indented it. In, that's the gulf.
Got it.
And a sea is just like got land around it.
That's okay. Cool. Great question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, God, MySpace, thank you so much.
Okay, really hard-hitting question here. Get ready.
Yes.
Favorite flower?
Honestly, I actually can't choose. My parents are horticulturists, so like I
really?
Grew up surrounded by plants.
Ooh,
wow. So, okay, that is literally my favorite question of all time.
Oh my God.
Okay, my basic bitch answer is like a blue hydrangea. So like I just love the cluster, but I love, so like there's pink hydrangeas and blue hydrangeas. And you can change one into the other based on the acidity of the soil.
Really?
So like I love when it gets into like that cool purpley, like Captain Crunch kind of color where it's like a little bit of balls. Oh my God. Wait, this is literally my favorite thing. I love a hibiscus. I'm really into like roses, which I used to, but not like, I don't like red roses. I love like an orange, or like there's these cool purple roses that I really love. I have trained my fiance very well to be
good.
Like, no mums, no offense, no yes. basic best bitch. Mm-hmm. If you ever give me
a carnation is a hideous flower.
I am keeping the ring and I am changing the locks. Like, full stop. Let me think. I love like this. I love a magnolia tree. Oh my God. I love all plants. I don't like grasses. Grasses I really hate because like they're really sharp. So like I used to have to like carry pots of grasses and they like kind of cut at your hands. So grasses I don't fuck with, but, I love all plants. I love a fern grove.
Did you ever have like a rebellious phase as a child where you were just like, oh yeah, and you just didn't water anything? You just killed a bunch of plants.
The bees.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I did work for my dad. He has a nursery. Where most people can't keep a succulent alive, my dad can grow like 50,000 plants a year. Like it kind of blows my mind.
So crazy. I love that.
And yeah, I would work for him. I loved the watering part. That was like kind of my favorite. I was a musical kid, so like that was my rebelliousness. And I'm putting this in air quotes.
gotcha.
So I was not out doing like bad stuff. Like the first time I smoked weed was with like all of the Shakespeare actors. And I was like, this is insane.
You know? Oh yeah, theater kids party. Like the most scandalous shit of my teen years happened with my theater friends. Hey, Steven.
Yeah. I grew up in upstate New York, so like our theater world was like pretty tame, and it was like mostly having parties in like forests or someone's like like big backyard that like bled into a forest.
Oh, that's so cool.
So yeah. I love crocuses because that's also my like that's the first sight of spring, and that makes me be like, thank fucking God, we're out of winter.
Wait, I need to Google a crocus. I don't know what a crocus looks like.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't know if they're in.
Oh, those are very pretty. They're almost tulipy.
They are kind of tulipy, and they like sprout. It's the first time. Oh wait, I love forsythia, like the bright yellow. Mm-hmm. You got so much more than you bargained for with this question.
Love this game.
I love it. Yeah, I love like spring flowers because it just makes me be like, oh my God, we got out of winter and we survived it. So yeah,
exactly. Are you a February baby or a March baby since you're a Pisces?
I'm a March baby. I'm on the cusp too. Of Aries.
Yeah. Wait, so when's your birthday? What's your birthday?
March 16th.
Okay.
Oh.
What are you guys?
I'm the 13th.
And I'm the 23rd.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm Aries. You're the other end. But you have that Pisces sensitivity.
I do. Yes, I have the Pisces real. Like get along with everyone. Different kinds of people in it. Yeah. And the I like sad music.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Like enjoy it. I love feeling sad.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, like a good sad song.
Elliot Smith, like just plays on repeat in like February where I'm like, I just want to be So
Jeff Buckley, yeah. Damien Rice, all of them. Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry. Just have to see if
this
has
My cat has decided to lay on top of all of my audio equipment. So if my sound goes sounds weird.
I would love to meet your cat after this because I have such a deep maternal urge to have a cat right now.
Cat one.
They're great.
They're a blast.
I don't know why. Cats. He's never done this before.
You're fine. You sound great. You're all good.
Yeah, you sound good.
All right, guys. I think we should one more question and then we're gonna break and come back with lady bums.
So, okay. Let's do it. All right. Here we go. Adrian, 6 months ago, can you remember who you liked?
Oh. Liked as in like have a crush on, like a romantic.
Yeah. Do you remember who you liked 6 months
Is this
ago?
My 13-year-old self, or is this my
current?
This is whoever,
or whatever. Yeah,
whatever.
I guess I liked my fiance. Ooh. Is that fair?
Wow.
I feel like fiance is like the most pretentious name. It's like such a pretentious word, and I feel very self-conscious about it. But he did propose. I guess proposed 8 months ago. So I was let's do it. Fuck, why not?
That's so cute.
So yeah, definitely liked him, but first crush. Yeah, I'm into him. He's cool.
Yeah, well, cool.
That's cool.
He knows what flowers I like, so I can't spend that energy on somebody else at this point.
Yes.
I also feel like emotionally he's kind of ruined me. Like he's the most emotionally sensitive, in touch man I've ever met, which is still wild to me. And I feel like I actually couldn't date anybody for love after this, and it would just have to be for yacht money, you know,
which is totally valid.
That's the only way I could go after. Like I know love, and if whatever happens, I can't do that again. So, but I'll take a yacht.
But you'll take a yacht. Yeah. I mean, it's worth it. Just as it's nice to travel to other countries, it's nice to experience yacht money, I'm sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I am addicted to stand-up paddleboarding right now. And so I spend a lot of time in the marina. And that's one of my favorite parts about it is just snooping on the yachts.
Oh, dude, I bet.
It's so fast. Yeah. I think
yacht
it's
culture
a succession
is crazy.
Thing. Yeah. And I love people have crazy living room setups and cool bars and I just am happy to be here. I'm just happy to be spying on you guys.
I'm just gliding on by.
Okay. Yeah. Feel free to invite me. I don't have a plan.
Look, I'm fun. I paddleboard.
I'm fun. Yeah. I paddleboard. Yeah. That's so funny. There was a really insane article in The New Yorker maybe a year ago about super yacht culture. And I was I would like to be financially comfortable, but I don't ever want to be this sickening.
I don't need to be this guy.
I feel there really is... there's some kind of stat where it's you need X amount of money to feel comfortable and you're thriving and all of that. Yeah. And after that, it's just chump change. But I also feel there's also, if you have $1 billion, your brain is actually rotting. I feel there is the 100%. Other way where it's you start to atrophy and can't have conversations anymore.
Well, I think in a very real way, it is a sort of in a way, it's kind of being an astronaut, in all seriousness. Probably a very alienating experience to be that rich. And we obviously have so much science and so many studies about the importance of human connection and the ability to relate to people and how that helps you mentally and physically and everything. So I'm sure if you are in a position where you have some bizarre hoarding mistrust of most of the world, that takes a toll on you.
Oh, totally.
There's a scene in The Other Two, best show ever, where she goes on a date with a guy who's about to become a billionaire. When she goes to the bathroom, he becomes a billionaire while she's gone. And then when she comes back, he's just fully insane. And he starts crawling the walls and yelling at people. And it's so fucking
That's
funny.
That's so funny.
Wait, what is the show called?
It's oh my God, The Other Two.
The Other Two. It's
what
incredible.
Is it on? What is it on?
It's on Max.
HBO, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The premise is there's a Justin Bieber type kid that gets famous as a young teen. But then this show's about his older two siblings.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The Other Two. It's very much an entertainment industry, satire. Yeah. It makes fun of, but it makes fun of everything, every level of the industry, just society in general.
Yeah.
And it really goes wild and it's
oh,
it's a
that's
great, show.
Great. Oh my God. Yeah. I will so check that out.
Yeah.
I love that. It's so good. Okay. Oh, yeah. I guess we have to take a break. We'll be back in a second. Hey, everybody, we're back. I'm Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Adrian.
Let's do advice. It's time for Lady Problems. Mm-hmm. Give us a phone call, 3236-BUT-30. Give us an email, ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Hi. I am a listener and I love you guys. I'm just calling because my roommate is really messy. She's really, really messy. Like, her and her boyfriend will make these big meals just for the two of them, and they'll leave the food out on the stove. And I don't really know. I've told her multiple times that it really affects my mental health to have, like, a messy kitchen. Like, I don't want to eat in a messy kitchen. I don't want to cook. I don't want to do any of that. I've known her for a really long time. She's more of a sister than a friend, and I just would really like your opinions on how to get this across to her. How do we organize our life so that our dishes are clean? Like, I can't cook something if there's a pot that's dirty. I don't know. I guess I'm just wondering what your advice is. Thank you. Bye.
And so for the listener, what you didn't see is four people just staring into the distance from the living.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily from the same
perspective. I'm so glad you clocked that.
Totally. I think we were all picturing a kitchen.
Yeah.
I will admit I've been the
okay, then Babs, what's your advice as the person that's been the one that's left the food?
Yes.
Your roommate needs to eventually have a boyfriend move in who is a lot cleaner than them and makes them clean.
But then makes really... you move out.
Right.
You basically need to not live with this person. That's the only thing that's really going to solve it, unfortunately. I know that that's not the advice you want, but...
If she has, like, actually articulated it several times...
Yeah.
It's kind of like that is a learned and, like, that's, like, a learned behavior. It's not a learned behavior, but it's, like, it's a behavior that has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
That's really tricky, especially because, like, they are... friends. I definitely have been the, like, my first apartment in Brooklyn was in a basement with five other people who also, like, three of them were improv people. Like, it's your classic, like, I just moved to New York apartment. And there was one time I went home upstate and I saw, like, a plastic cutting board that looked a little dirty that I had not used. And I was like, I'm just going to see what happens when I come back. So I left on Friday. I come back on Sunday. I flipped it over and there was a thick layer of mold on it. And I was like, I need to leave this place. Because, like, I feel like your cleaning habits, like, it's all about motivation. And if she's not motivated and you want to, like, continue being friends with that person, then, like, you just have to leave this situation. And it's not great that, like, clearly her boyfriend enables this behavior too. If he's like... whatever. I mean,
I know these two are fucked. When they go get their own place, they're screwed.
Oh, it's gonna be gross. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. So, like, let them have each other. It's like
let them have each other.
They're not helping someone else. It sucks when there's someone who's the victim of this.
It's such a make or break for living together.
Listen, here's the deal. I firmly believe after every meal, you do every dish. Every single dish. Don't even, like, give yourself the option of, no, you leave, not like, build it into, like, your dinner routine. Like, as soon as you get done eating.
Yeah.
In my house, it's, like, the person that didn't cook goes to the kitchen and does it. Like, build it in as, like, part of the meal process. Like.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. My other alternative is, what if the friend and boyfriend cook for our person. And she's like, if you cook for me, I will help with the cleanup. Because if she's motivated to help clean up, don't make her cook. But just like split groceries. Y'all do one side of labor. She does the other side. Even if
it's like, really like that.
Tupperware
that's
later.
That's a great solution.
You know?
I like that too, but I feel like, I feel like they're going to take it more advantage of her this way. You know what I mean? Like, oh, good. We never have to clean anything then.
Exactly. They're making they're cooking like a full turkey and like a huge thing of mashed potatoes at like every,
But then at least, she get a little that's bit fair. Something out of it.
Yeah, hopefully. That's fair. I just feel like if you guys are actually friends and it's not like a total stranger, like, I don't know. I feel like in my old age of 33, there's just so many things where I'm like, I don't want friends involved with this because it could hurt the friendship.
Yes.
And the friendship is more important. So it's like anything from like tutoring to like if I like, I love learning, like I want to learn Spanish, but like I have plenty of friends that could help me with that. It's like, I would rather have like a professional do this or like working together can be really tricky. So it's just kind of like, but if she moves out, like, is the friend going to be pissed? You know, like,
but
we need more information
about
the friend.
So, like, I feel like if you have that kind of really, like, you guys can probably be pretty real with each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think this might be a little bit harder if it wasn't such a good friend. So I think, like, you need to just be real with her and be like, I'm doing this because I love you. If you decide that you need to move out. But I actually really like the idea of trying, fine, you guys cook, I'll do the dishes. Because then at least that's making it very clear, like, this is labor. You need to think about me. It is kind of, they are going to have to do some labor to include her in the meals if they go with that plan. Like they're going to
totally
loop
totally,
her. And maybe that will get them thinking like there's no fairy in the kitchen that comes, takes care of everything.
Your mom doesn't show up at the end of the meal just to like take care of everything. The one thing that like, I'm for sure much more of the like clean freak. And the dishes are like really the only thing that my fiance and I will be, I'll be like, come on, man, you know? Yeah. And it's really very minimal, but like we live in a closet in New York. So like one dish feels like, oh my God, the whole place is a mess,
and it,
you know?
It piles up so quickly.
So vast.
And it's
so
also,
vast.
It's easier if you do it immediately, you know?
Oh yeah. That's the thing. Like if you do it immediately, it's only like a couple minute chore.
I tend to like cook and clean at the same time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yes.
Because also I love my fiancé so much, but like I know they'll sit for a little bit longer than I can psychologically handle. So I'll be like, I'll just do like a lot of them as things are like simmering and I'll feel like better about it. Because I'm also like in motion. It's like I'm getting stuff
you're kind of like in the vibe. You just start. And then like it also gives, because I feel like when you're cooking, you have a lot of moments where you're like, I have 3 minutes for that.
Exactly.
To quit. So you're like, okay, cool. I'll just wash that. While
I literally don't even know how people clean while they cook. Like it cannot be further from I operate.
That's so funny.
Unless it looks like there's been like a weird experiment in the kitchen that exploded. Like I don't. That's the only way I can do it.
No, it's fine to compartmentalize.
I get up with my dad. I cook like my dad. Like we both just like to like listen to a lot of techno and kind of like get in the zone and just start.
But I will say, I mean, it's just tough. You know, the problem is she's already talked to her and told her that her mental health is suffering from it. And
that's
not serious.
Adjusted.
I mean, that's serious, and it doesn't. It pisses me off. It sucks. You know, I had a roommate who I loved, but she would not clean the litter box ever. She had a cat. I had a cat. I was the only person ever cleaning that litter box. No matter how many times I asked, no matter which ways I asked, never changed.
Yeah. Right.
So it was just like, okay, like I knew it was never going to change and it sucked, but it was, you know.
My other like thing on this is like, I've heard people say that like in marriage, which like, you know, if you're living with somebody, for some couples, like if one person, it's like, this is my chore and I am the one responsible for this chore. Like, is there, if our friend is the one who's like, fine, I'll do the dishes as long as you guys do. Like, what are other cleaning things that like they could do?
Yeah.
Because it is just like the division of labor is unequal here. And how can we make it more equal?
That's a good idea.
So,
I would sit down and be like, what do you like? Like some people,
what do you like to do?
Or what do you not mind?
Exactly. Or what do you not mind?
Like, what's your, what do you, what would you like to do more? Maybe it's like you do the bathroom and I do the kitchen, whatever the hell it is.
Exactly. Yeah. Because like I don't take out the garbage, but like if I ask my fiance, hey, We're leaving. We're finishing up breakfast here. I will take on all of the dishes if you take out the garbage right now. And I feel like even though I've for sure made breakfast, I will be like, totally. I'm making it feel like less is taking off your plate right now. So, and that I feel like we're cool on that front. Mm-hmm. So I feel like as long as you just find a way that feels more right, someone do the best, like I'll do all of the dishes if somebody does the bathrooms.
Clean the bathrooms. You know? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But then the garbage, like, whatever. I agree, but it's like, how come the bathrooms aren't already getting cleaned?
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, if it feels like this is like, I think we might be back to like,
yeah. Well, and I just want to say to the listener too, and to everybody out there listening, just because you're really good friends doesn't mean that you're good roommates. And that is not a knock on the friendship.
Yeah.
That just means that that's just not the best.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of things you don't learn about somebody until you live with them. So you could not have prevented this probably. Yeah. Who knows, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's just shit that happens when you live with somebody. It's very hard to predict, you know?
Yeah. And ultimately, at the end of the day, what the valuable thing here is the friendship. So, like, keep that in mind. Like, consider your priority should be conserving or preserving that relationship. So, like, if it is starting to get to a point where you guys are going to have some gnarly, like, blowout fight, like, have this conversation in, like, a calm way before that happens.
Totally.
Like, she's your girl. Like, she's going to get – she knows she's a slob.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd hope so. Because I feel like the resentment, like, once the seed of resentment is placed, that is so hard to, like, unearth. Because then it just builds and it grows and you find things that you're like probably not actually that upset about, but like it just helps feed it.
Spoken like a true horticulturist.
Yeah,
I know. I can't do plant metaphors. You got to get the root. If you're taking a weed out, you got to get all the roots because
it can be thorny though. It can be a thorny issue.
Can be thorny. Doesn't always smell like a bed of roses. We could go on. But yeah, so that's a bummer. But I hope that our friend can find like a fun romantic partner and move in with them and have like a lovely home together of the same cleaning.
Yeah, it's definitely
cleaning.
A lot easier to have those conversations when it's your romantic partner.
Totally.
If it's a friend, it's a lot. Yeah. It's just a lot harder.
Because then it's
there's nothing easier than bossing around your romantic partner. We all know that.
Truly. Truly. I'll be sending this clip to Sam later. Just listen to this part. No, totally. Totally. But also, like, there's so much joy in, like, being able to make a space with like your romantic partner because you're like, oh, I just feel like you can really, in a non-sexual way, like, oh my God, I can really like take my bra off here. Like I can really relax because I'm not like, somebody else's boyfriend isn't like bopping around and it's like, oh, you're here, you know? So like, get that train going.
I've said this before, but as the dirty one and you know, my boyfriend's not, the way that he's talked to me that's helped is like the no shame, just simply asking me to do stuff, not being shitty about it ever, just being like, hey, could you do this?
Right.
You know? So I think maybe if you pepper a lot more of that in where it's just like, then I started seeing it more myself and not having, you didn't have to ask me, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But
he was just asking enough where I like got the hang of it basically.
That makes sense.
So
I
think not assigning a lot of emotion to the asking.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's not that you're giving her like, it's not an indictment on her in any way. It's just like it shouldn't insult her that you're asserting your needs.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally. But I also feel like she has to talk to the boyfriend too, because he's clearly like hanging out, making a mess too. So it is like a conversation with both of them. Because like, if she just talks to the friend and then the boyfriend is there, they'll just like fall into their old habits.
Right. But I think
it's like
also
a sit down
like,
with
hey,
both
will you guys clean
them.
That? Oh, hey, can you guys clean it up? Hey, can
totally.
You do that just
totally.
Every, like over and over.
Yeah.
And then hopefully that might be something.
Last night, I was like, Sean and I made our own dinner last night, kind of, because like we're eating different things. And then I was doing a couple dishes and I was like, do you want to do these last dishes or do you want to take out the compost?
Boom.
Yeah. Right.
And guess which one he chose?
Compost.
Yeah, I know. I did compost. We have a joke in my
compost.
We have a joke in my house, like, because the compost is so gross. So like we pretend like we really like it. We're like, you got to take the compost out? I was gonna do it.
Wait, that's really great. That's a really good, like, psychological little.
It kind of
twist
is like
right
it kind
there.
Of works. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Oh. You should have waited for me.
Right. I wanted to
do take
the
worm, the worm food.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to take the worm food. Wait, I am so going to use that later. Cut this part out so Sam can't hear that. I love that, Tess. I will be implementing that later this evening.
Great.
Yes. well, good luck to the listener. Let us know how it goes. I don't know. Get takeout more often.
Adrian, this has been a blast.
Oh my God. This has been a total delight, ladies. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Where can everybody find you online? The podcast?
Yeah.
Plug it up, girl.
Plug it up. So the podcast is called A Race Around the World, based on the true story of Nellie Bly and Elizabeth Bisland. You can find that on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. My OG podcast is called Strangers Abroad. And same searching. I am on the TikToks. You can find me at Strangers Abroad. And if you want to contact me, you can email me at strangersabroadpodcast@gmail.com.
Hell
awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
Check
so
out the
much.
Podcast. It's yes. a really incredible story. And thank you. Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us.
This has been a total delight. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, bye, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30
somewhere. Hi, ladies. I just listened to the episode where a caller was looking for petty revenge. And me and my roommate were really into real spooky stuff. And I came across the website sendclown.com. That's sendclown.com, where you get like a haunted clown doll, supposedly, allegedly haunted. And you can send it anonymously. So, you know, if anyone's into petty revenge at all, sendclown.com. Love y'all. Bye.
Hi. I have advice for the person that was moving because of their partner to a different state and wanted to know how to make friends. I did the exact same thing in my early 20s. I moved to a southern state because of my husband. I met my husband in graduate school and moved to this other place where I didn't know a single person. My biggest piece of advice that no one hit on in the episode is to join like a professional organization for what you have going on. So I think you are a nurse. Join like a young nurses group if they have that. Like for us, it was the, you know, our young professional group. And that will make it easy to approach people. And don't be afraid if they all went to the same nursing school, for example, and you didn't. Don't be afraid after going to a couple of meetings or a couple of gatherings to just approach people. They may seem cliquish, but it is worth like walking right up to them and getting into those groups, because that's what I did at my young professionals meeting. I walked in there and walked up to basically a couple that just seemed cool. And I was basically like, do you want to be our friends? With me and my husband, and it worked, and we've been friends since 2014. We've gone on trips with them. So it's definitely, even if it is awkward to do, it's totally worth it, because you will, if you are in a group like that of people, like they're in your profession and you approach them, you will make friends like that. So just pursue like the nurses kind of like group or professional organizational group in your area. Even if you're in like a smaller town, they will have like a young professional group there. And that's what I would suggest.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine.
Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy. And give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brand Dazzle, and Testify Barker. Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.